In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, welcome to Lent. As I mentioned in my meditation on Ash Wednesday, it is one of the great gifts of the church. And it is a season most unique. There's nothing else like it. And a beautiful thing is we have this all to ourselves. There's no competition in our culture for Lent. And our sister preparation season, Advent, the 4 weeks leading, preparing for the 12 days of Christmas, well, we're preparing, our culture's already celebrating. But we work it out. And I will say the first day had a little competition. It fell on Valentine's Day. And I was told that it only happened 3 times in the century. The next time is 2029, and they're not a long time. But other than that, we have it all to ourselves. No one in the culture is competing for self-denial, for self-examination, self-reflection. And it is a beautiful season. It is a season most holy because it is a season of preparation. Preparation in and of itself is a holy act. I've heard it called the sacrament of preparation. Think about that in life. When we prepare for things, we prepare for the birth of a child. What goes into that? The financial considerations, the prayer, the extending of the family as you choose godparents, the choosing of a name. Holy is the preparation for the birth of a child. Think of the preparation for the death of a loved one, even the sacrifice of the pain. But what a holy thing as we make someone's last weeks or days, hours, as comfortable and as surrounded by love as possible. And most of us know that preparation, do we not? We prepare for sacraments, for baptism, for confirmation. We prepare a couple for marriage, and even lesser things. I'm preparing for an interview or a project or something. It takes effort, and that effort is holy. And if we need a patron saint for preparation, the act of preparation, we need only to see John the Baptist. His entire life dedicated to the preparing for Jesus. And when Jesus came on the scene, people understood more the nuances of his words and his actions because they had been prepared for him by John the Baptist. So, can you go to the Feast of Easter with no preparation? Many do. What happens? Well, here's what happens. You come face to face with the miracle of the resurrection. You're bathed with the grace of God. But the difference when you prepare. When Mother Church is bathed with the ancient prayers and tunes and disciplines. And what's the difference it makes? If you always had eggs and never tasted steak, eggs are pretty good. I guess my vegetarian friends might not appreciate that. No. But preparation is so very important. So today I would like to talk about the two high purposes of Lent. First, just to say a couple of things. Number one, I would like to dedicate today to the preparation of Lent as a community, as a parish family. On the Ash Wednesday meditation, the masses that followed, I concentrated more on our individual practices in Lent. And usually when we think of Lent, we think of that. What am I giving up? What am I adopting? How am I changing? And it makes sense because we live in a very individualistic society and getting more and more so every day. We carry little computers in our hands called cellulars. And I don't need to go to a concert because I can find the tune right here. I don't need to go to a movie. I can watch them. I don't need to go to church. I can find any sermon or song on the computer. Except no. We're made to walk in a pack. We're made to live in community. Religion might be very personal, but it's never private. We're meant to be together. If you take charcoal in a fire and take one away, it goes cold fast. But when you place it with other charcoal, the ember stays alive and warm. And so I'd like to dedicate this sermon to what is it to walk the season of Lent as a family, as a parish. Again, I mentioned the two high purposes, but first just mention a couple of tangible, measurable things, differences we see in Lent that are unique to this time of year. First, we simplify the masses. Not to promise that they become shorter. But they're simplified. We don't do marriages in Lent. We don't do baptisms unless it's an emergency. We save those for Easter. We add disciplines too. Next Sunday, for instance, we will pray the Great Litany, largely written by Thomas Cranmer. It's the longest prayer you have ever heard. But it's a symbol that our community holds us accountable to pray and think of things we would not think to pray for on our own. The birth of children, those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who are alone, those who are old. And the prayer goes on. So next Sunday when we pray the Great Litany, and each one of us are thinking, when will this prayer end? Give thanks for the accountability of what it is to walk as a family. We veil some of our images. If I veiled every image in this church, it would be nothing but Pepto-Bismol. We have so many beautiful images, but we symbolize by veiling the crosses in some of the images as if to take a fast from the eyes during this season for some of the beauty, the beautiful images that when they're lifted at Easter, we appreciate and love them all the more. We adorn the altar vestments in purple. It's the penitential color. We wear purple here at confession, for instance. And sometimes people are buried in the color of purple. And then the most striking change that's closest to the heart of the church is the discontinuance of the Alleluia. And what is the Alleluia? For the ancient shout of joy of the church. From the Hebrew, Alleluia, to praise, from the first Yah, the first half word of Yahweh, the praise of God. So important to the church. We take a fast from the Alleluia. That when we proclaim it in acclamation come Easter Day, we proclaim it with joy and guts. And the many more changes of the tone of the liturgy and the songs and the music. So we experience this together. The two high purposes, one is baptism. Some of that significance is lost now, as I've mentioned in several sermons. Now, in the early church, all baptisms took place at Easter. We all have the same anniversary. Now we spread them through the year in a beautiful way. But nevertheless, Lent is a time for those who are contemplating baptism to think about it, to pray about it. And those who are baptized, the rest of us, to consider, what does that mean? What difference does baptism mean in our lives? And then the second half purpose, the more familiar to us, of course, is to walk the walk with Jesus of his suffering. At Christmas, we stood around the manger. At Epiphany, we walk with Jesus in his public ministry, to his miracles and teachings. In the season of Lent, we walk with him to do the difficult thing. We walk with him in his suffering. And Lent is divided largely in half. The first half of Lent deals with the interior suffering of Jesus. His conflict with the authorities, with the disciples, and his care for those who come after him. Read the high priestly prayer, John 17, to know this. And then the second half leading into Holy Week, we walk the actual physical steps of his suffering and of his death. And then it is important to note that Lent is not a season unto itself. It's a means to an end. It is never to be seen outside the miracle of resurrection. We know how the script ends. We know where it goes. That's very important. So I ask us maybe to hold hands as a parish family and come together and be faithful to the liturgy to Lent. I ask you as your pastor, if at all possible, to come to the masses and at least come to one station of the cross and benediction on Friday. Because going back to the community image, we don't come to church, it's not all about us. We come, yes, for our nourishment, but also for the person in the pew next to us. You might be sitting in the pew today next to someone who only came here because their 2 feet brought them. They might be spiritually weak or spiritually tired, and it's up to you to carry them in faith. You believe on their behalf today. You sing the hymns for them. You see, we have motivation other than our own souls to take part in this thing we call a parish family, the church. So may we hold hands this Lent and walk these challenging but beautiful days of Lent together. And as I mentioned so often in the sermons at the beginning of a season, but I say it with authenticity, please expect something from these 40 days. Expect to be changed. Expect the Holy Spirit. Expect to know God better by the end of it. I can't wait to see what we might be like. Amen.